Amen. John 3:16. How can you read a passage like that and not preach on John 3:16? Did you know that John 3:16 has been the most translated verse into different languages in any piece of literature throughout all of history? Exactly. Wow is right. I mean, when I heard that, I was pretty surprised also. And actually, I gave you a sample here, and that is, can anybody read that on the bottom by any chance? I tried to do one that might stump you. Ileana's not here. She might have been able to. Maybe not. Burmese is what it is. Yes. Uh-huh. So that's just an example of one of its translations. The other thing is we've seen that verse, right, just the numbers, John 3:16, in lots of places outside of church. Does anybody remember this guy? No. Yeah. I mean, he'd be everywhere, right? He'd just, like, photobomb everything, John 3:16, with that funny Afro hair going on there. And then how about this? At the ballpark, right behind home plate, or a lot of times you would see it at football games behind the goal, you would see John 3:16. And then you got to love this one, Go Giants, John 3:16. I mean, it's just like sort of, if anybody didn't know what John 3:16 was, they might think it was something that had to do with the Giants, which is pretty funny. Tim Tebow, I think, had done John 3:16, right, on his letters here. So we've definitely seen it. But the question really is, how many people actually know the verse? They might not actually know what the verse is. The verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, one and only son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Martin Luther has said, this is the gospel in a nutshell. And there it is. God's only son promises eternal life. And then you're going to see it says gospel. Is it really all that simple? It's pretty complex, isn't it? Because these words can be used to free, and they can be used also to condemn. And they have been used in both ways. So we have to ask ourselves, are these life-giving words of grace from a gracious God who graciously loves us? Grace, grace, grace. Or are these words used to determine who's in and who's out? Who's going to heaven and who's not going to heaven? Who is saved and who is not saved? Now let's go back to John's world, the gospel writer. At that time, it was the late first century, and there was a crisis that was happening in the community. At that time, those who believed that Jesus was the Messiah and those who did not, those Jews who did not, they worshiped together in the synagogue and all was okay until they got put out of the synagogue. Those who proclaimed Jesus as the Messiah were being put out of the synagogue. Now, there were many secret believers who would still go to the synagogue, but then there were those who would proclaim out loud that Jesus was the Messiah, and they were expelled. And when you're expelled from the synagogue, you're expelled from the community. That's how serious this is. And so perhaps these words were for those that were following Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That these were words of comfort. Now we need to look at where this also fits in the Gospel of John. Do you remember last week we talked about how Jesus had come and overturned the money changers and the Jewish leaders said, like, show us a sign. Why do you have the right to do this? And what did Jesus say? Tear down this temple, and in 3 days I'll build it up again. And they all looked at him like, what? Because they were focused on earthly things, saying, it took us 46 years to build this. Are you kidding me? And Jesus, of course, was talking about his body as the temple where God is, because indeed he is God incarnate. Now, later on after the Passover, Nicodemus, who is a Jewish leader, and he's not just a Jewish leader, but he is a very well-respected and prominent Jewish leader in Jerusalem. And he probably sat on the Sanhedrin, which was the court of law for the Jewish community. And so Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night because something has stirred in him. And he's like, he comes and he says to Jesus, I know that you come from God. I know that because no one else could be doing the things that you're doing. You have to come from God. But I want to understand more. Help me. It's almost like help my unbelief. And so Jesus starts to talk to Nicodemus, right? But again, Jesus is talking about different than the actual physical world. And what does Jesus say to Nicodemus? He says, you have to be born again. And Nicodemus is like, okay, like at this point he heard about the temple. Now he's hearing this. He's like, how can any human being be born again? You are born once. It's not like you can go back and be born again. Because Nicodemus is so focused on the physical world. And Jesus says, that's not the kind of birth that he's talking about. He's talking about the heavenly birth. He's talking about the renewal of the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus begins to talk to Nicodemus in the gospel reading that we heard today. But it's interesting because it's as if Jesus is now not just talking to Nicodemus, but he's now opening it up and talking to us. Have you seen that on TV, right, where it seems to be very popular in shows now, where whoever the lead character is kind of brings you into the conversation, right? So that's really what's happening. It's starting to open to all of us, even though that we know that Jesus is still talking to Nicodemus, he's letting us in on this also. And so we hear these words of revelation. So let's take a close look at them. For God so loved the world. Now that could be mistaken to be, this is how much. I mean, he so loved the world. But the Greek here, when interpreted, is really the word thusly. It could be interpreted as thusly. For God thusly loved the world. It is the way in which God loved the world. So we're going to say, for God so loved. Oh my goodness, is that an amazing word? We always have to put an adjective before it to describe the type of love that we're talking about. And in Greek, there are three types, three separate words for love. And we have to put a condition on the front to explain what type of love we're talking about. We know that there is romantic love. We know that there is brotherly love. And then there's what we call unconditional love, which is agape. Agape, unconditional love. And the love here is in the plural. So the love means for all. And when we say unconditional love, did God ask you if you wanted to be loved? Did you ask God? No. It's like God's incredible gift to us, something that we didn't ask for, and something that some people might say they don't even want. In times in our life when someone says they love us and we're not feeling the same way, it's like, please, don't love me, which sounds strange, but it can happen. But this is God's unconditional love, saying, I am loving you no matter what. This is what I am giving to you. The next word is the word world. Now, world here is cosmos. And we need to look at the word as it relates to John, how John uses world in his gospel. You see, the world is not a place where God is. It's a place where God is absent. So world is not meant to be in any way a positive thing. It's the place where there's darkness, where there is no light, where there is sin. And throughout John's gospel, that's how John uses the word world. So this is saying, this is a sinful place that God is unconditionally loving. a place where God is not present, a place where God, through Christ, will shine his light. The next word is believe, comes from belief. Believe here is not a noun. It's not something that we say. It's not something that we hold as a truth. In John's gospel, believe is an action. It's a verb. It's to be in relationship with Jesus, to have a connection with Jesus, to pray, to dwell, to be the closest you could possibly be. And that's what belief is. It's not the professing. It's what you're doing every single day. And perish. We tend to think of perish as God's wrath, but that's not what it means here. Perish is about a life-depleting condition. It's about lostness without our Creator God, the one who feeds us and gives us life every day. You know, there's the story in John's Gospel about the lamb who wanders away. He's lost. He'll perish on his own. So Jesus goes and grabs that lost lamb and brings that lamb back into the fold. And all will come back into the fold, especially those who are not yet gathered. And then we have eternal life. And you know I probably say it a million times. Eternal life is not what happens after we leave this physical place. Eternal life is what happens right now. When you come into a relationship with Jesus, your entire life changes in a way that you would never, ever, ever expect. Living in recognition of God's grace begins when we see God's grace in Jesus. So what about that condemnation part? Well, in verse 17, we are told right up front that Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but came to save the world. Not to condemn. And the reason for that is because, remember in John, the world is already condemned because God is not present, because of all the sinfulness that is happening. So it's not as if this verse 16 is to be taken as condemnation. Jesus is the light of the dark world. Jesus exposes us for who we are. We're humans. We are humans. And by our humanity, we are sinners. But when Jesus shines the light is not shined on us for us to feel shame. No, not at all. The light is shined upon us so that we can be lifted up out of that and become saints. Because we are simultaneously saints and sinners. We are sinners because we are human and live in this world. And yet at the same time, we're saints because of God's grace, which is poured out and given to us through Jesus Christ. This is how I took a stab at reinterpreting. This is how I would say, and I put in yellow the words based on the Greek. For this is the way that God gave God's unconditional love to the world that was not able to love God. God in the form of Jesus took on flesh to experience life and dwell with us. And then Jesus, the Christ, gave his life to save this world so that no one who dwells in him shall be lost, but instead shall have new life, beginning now and lasting forever. These are words. These are life-giving words of grace from a gracious God who graciously loves us and invites us to dwell in Christ. It's all grace, grace upon grace. Amen.